A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Tank 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Kuf Tesvov, 115, pagination page 229. Starting the new perek, which is the topic of Kol Kisvei HaKodesh, all holy writings, Matzilin Osan Mipnei HaDeleka, you're allowed to save them from a fire. Now, this topic is enormously expansive. There's a lot to talk about. Unfortunately, lots of people ignore it because they figure it's not applicable. After all, nowadays, if a fire would break out, there's nothing to talk about. You would call the fire department. And it's so simple. So why bother learning this? But as we'll see, hopefully just little tidbits of it, there's an enormous amount of literature here in terms of insights and appreciating what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, not just regarding fires, but regarding holy books, what has to be put in Seamus, as we call it, a specific place instead of just dumping it in the garbage, what level of holiness each type of holy writing has, and the general reaction to an emergency on Shabbos. So let's begin. The Mishnah is telling us that you'd be allowed to save holy writings on Shabbos. There are obviously some things that you would not be allowed to save on Shabbos to carry out of the building. Rashi observes that the issue over here is rabbinic violation, carrying to a mavui she'eno mefulash, carrying to an area that could have had an eruv. It's not a 600,000 big whatever, but it could have had an Eruv, but it doesn't. It doesn't have the Eruv. So normally you're not allowed to carry there. And now we're telling you that for Kisvei Kodesh, we're going to allow you to carry these holy writings in order that they shouldn't burn in the fire, whereas, presumably, other belongings that don't fit this category, you would have to leave where they are and not save them. The Mishnah continues and tells us, "Bein shekorin bohen, uvein she'ein korin bohen." Whether you read in them on Shabbos, whether you don't read in them on Shabbos, you're allowed to save them. Afapi sheksuvim b'chaloshim t'unin geniza, because even if they're written in any language, there's a global. This is holy scripture, and it's going to need to be. What we call Seamus. Seamus comes from the word Shem Hashem. The name of Hashem has to be treated with dignity, and therefore we purposely bury it in a water-insulated container, like glass, plastic, something that will preserve it to the best of our human ability without getting it erased. Umepnei ma'in korim bohem. Why are there some sorts of scripture, even though they're holy and they're legitimate, which you're not allowed to read on Shabbos? Mipnei bitul beis hamedrash, because we're worried that if people are allowed to read those writings on Shabbos, they're going to spend their afternoon reading those writings because they're interesting, and they won't come to the Rav's drasha, which happened on Shabbos afternoon, which he discussed the different halachas that people need to know. Rashi uses the word over here, derasha leba'alei batim. It was a lecture for the homeowners. Sha'asukim b'melacha kol yemos hachol. They work during the week. On Shabbos there was a lecture. We're worried if we allow you to read, even though these are holy scriptures, some of them, that were saying not to read on Shabbos, you're still allowed to save them on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to read them on Shabbos. Now, even though we would be much more relaxed nowadays, a lot of things we're going to see have changed. Tosfos here mentions you're allowed to write things beyond Tanakh, and therefore you'd be allowed to save them, and you'd be obligated to bury them properly, etc. There are a lot of things here that may have changed to our time, but again, these principles are very powerful. There's a principle here that if a person has a choice to read an interesting part of Torah, or come to the lecture, which was being done communally, to learn the halachos that pertain to people. Chazal very much wanted you to go to the lecture, to the point that they prohibited reading in certain writings, even though they're legitimate and holy, because we wanted you to come to the lecture. Let's turn the page, and we'll get a little bit further contrast here of what the status in the time of the Mishnah was. On the fourth line of Amud Beis, pagination 230, first word on the line is Degiftis, and then we begin. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned. Habrachos, blessings. Rashi says it refers to Shmona Esrei, other blessings, if they were written down. Are they considered sanctified, holy? Would you be able to save them on Shabbos? V'hakimiyin, and amulets, where they also wrote certain psukim, like the pasuk from this week's parsha, that all illness that was brought on the Mitzrayim should not be brought on you, because I am your healer. Even though they have the words of Hashem, the name of Hashem, and many things from Torah, ein matzilin osan mepnei adleika, you're not allowed to save them from a fire. El nesrafim bimkoman, you're being passive. You're allowing it to burn in its place. It's a tragedy, but you weren't allowed to carry it out of the house, because in the time of the Gemara, those things were never supposed to be written to begin with, and therefore they weren't considered the status of something that we would save. Obviously, you're not allowed to purposely disgrace them, because the fact is Hashem's name is there, even if you weren't supposed to do it, but they have a status.
It doesn't include mezuzahs, apparently, right?
Mezuzahs are legitimate, and therefore you would save them. But we're talking about, in the time of the Gemara, things that were not supposed to be written. Now, I've been avoiding it. We finally have to hit it head on. Torah Shebichsav, the written law, was meant to be written. Torah Shebalpeh, the oral law, was meant to be inculcated in our very person and not recorded in writing. You could write quick notes, but it wasn't meant to be formally written. Our Gemara and all such writings, including brachos, writing them out, is all because of Eis Lasos Lashem Eferu Torasecha. We were worried that we would forget it. And Chazal said that to preserve Torah, we have to be able to write it. So that's what we're going to get to, that in practical halacha, this ruling is going to be overturned. But in the time of the Mishnah, in the time of the Gemara, what they were saying was that in contrast to the Mishnah that says that Tanakh can be saved, even if it's the part of Tanakh that you're not allowed to read on Shabbos, but brachos, things that are Torah but weren't supposed to be written, would not allow to be saved on Shabbos. Maisa be'echad, there was a story, Shayakosa b'tzidon, that someone was writing things in this city. Ba'u v'hodiyos Rabbi Yishmael, they told Rabbi Yishmael, v'alach Rabbi Yishmael lebodko, and Rabbi Yishmael went to check on him and see if he was really writing things he wasn't supposed to be writing out, because they had not yet issued this ruling to permit. Torah Shabbal Peh, kishahaya ola besulam, as he was walking up the ladder, Hirgishbo, the person who was doing this, realized that he was being checked on. He didn't want to get into trouble. Not al tumus shel brachos, he took a whole bunch of written out brachos, v'shakon b'seifel shel mayim, and he put them into a bucket of water. And Rabbi Shmuel realized what happened. He figured that it would dissolve and no one would be able to tell what was really there. And that's, by the way, something very careful by a Sefer Torah. It's water-soluble. The ink would get ruined if it got wet. You have to be very careful not to let it get wet. Sometimes people take a Sefer Torah, there's a little drizzle. You have to be very careful not to... You take the Sefer Torah to a Beis Avel or Simchas Torah, they want to take it out into the street. If there's any rain, you have to make sure to wrap it properly.
I'm commenting on a side issue, right?
That if it gets wet, it gets ruined. This guy, the scribe's strategy here was dump it in a bucket of water, agitate, and Rabbi Yishmael won't catch him because it's water soluble. Uvaloshen azeh amala Rabbi Yishmael told him, Gadol onesh acharon min harishon, what you just did is even worse than what you did before. Because And we'll see in Tshuvas, even if it doesn't have Hashem's name, writing something out from Torah Shebaal Peh is holy. We're not going to save it from the fire, let's say, in the time of Chazal, but it definitely had holiness. And Rabbi Yishmael said, what you just did is very wrong. If a person, in the time of the Gemara, when it wasn't supposed to be saved, that was the delicate balance. It wasn't saved, but it definitely was holy. If you turn back to the first side of what we just did, you'll see the second Tosfos is called Aliba, outer commentary. And the second line of that Tosfos, where it's big, Vahashta, this is a landmark Tosfos. No, turn back.
Oh, did I?
One more.
Well, I went to the other way. Okay.
There you go. Vahashta. One line down. You got it. Vahashta, and nowadays, Sfarim Shalanu Matzilin. We save our Sfarim from a fire. You're allowed to violate this Mavui issue of schlepping it from here. The Nitnu Likros Bahen, because you're allowed to read them. And that's the rule, that if you were allowed to read them, they're for sure permitted. Mishum Eis Lasos LaHashem Eferu Torasecha, because it was a time to do for Hashem, we were worried Torah would be forgotten, so we allowed you to write it to begin with, and therefore you were allowed to save it. One quick observation, someone once pointed out, you have a bungalow distant from everyone. Bungalow in the mountains, distant from everyone, and Rahman al-Itzlan, God forbid, there's a fire there on Shabbos. So, theoretically, you're going to let it burn. I can't put it out on Shabbos. It's a violation, right?
Right, so the question, there's no danger for
There's
you
no danger for life. It's just you. You know you're out of the building. What's
danger
the...
Danger other people.
Right? Danger other people. There's miles around, right? We'll make up a case. What are you allowed to do? So he pointed out to me that if we consider calling on a telephone rabbinic, so then what you would normally do is you would call the fire department, right? Get out of the building and call the fire department. So you would be allowed to do that now also, because there are mezuzahs on the walls, on the door frames. And those mezuzahs are enough to allow you to violate a rabbinic violation to try to save them. And therefore you would have this application of the Mishnah, that even though normally, again, as I mentioned, people don't think, you just call the fire department. What's there to discuss? Why do I have to even learn these halachas? But there could be cases where you should know what the level of violation is, and therefore what is it that is permitted.
But it would be a different case if you went to Bangalore.